You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mooksy, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you doing, brother?
Only terrific, Mo. Only terrific. And it's great. It's great. It's so great of a day. I feel like saying the following. Real name, no gimmicks.
It's been a while.
What makes today so great,
B? What makes today so great?
Just the opportunities that await. Just the creativity that's in front of us. They're just opportunities. So
you let me know when you see one for me, because I don't see nothing over here.
Yeah, you know what? They are present. They are here. I'm really excited about today. Just woke up like this.
I like that. I didn't. So let's talk some basketball. BJ, I woke up, I opened my phone, it said that we might hit minus 20.
Okay.
Celsius.
Wow.
What's that in Fahrenheit? That's minus 4 Fahrenheit. I don't know, for us, that's cold as hell. So
yeah, that's cold. That's cold anywhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of here. Someone help me. If you're listening, hire me somewhere warm. Thank you. Anyway, let's talk about the NBA. Last night, the clash of the Titans, the top two teams in the league, the OKC Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers, went head-to-head, with the Cleveland Cavaliers taking a 129-122 win at home. The most impressive part of that is the Cavs had 7 players in double-digit scoring, and Caris LeVert gave them 8 as well. The depth of the Cavaliers really came through last night. OKC put up a strong fight, but it wasn't enough to stop this Cleveland team, who is now rolling. They progressed to 32-4, extending their winning streak to 11, ends the Thunder's winning streak of 15. This is one of the best regular season teams we've seen in a while. What were your thoughts and what were your takeaways from that game?
Well, the glaring thing is, great win by Cleveland. Okay. Terrific win. They have consistently been the best offensive team thus far. They have a nice balance of interior play with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen leading the charge. And then they have excellent perimeter play with Mitchell and Garland. What more can you say about Cleveland? I think it was a couple years ago, Mo, and I said it then. When Evan Mobley becomes the best player on the team, I thought this organization was going to take off. I thought this team was going to take off because of his ability to dominate from the interior. And he's just so versatile. Like last night, they had 7 guys, like you mentioned, in double figures. However, he had 7 assists from the power forward position. Okay.
Yep. Because he was establishing his inside presence early in the game.
Yes.
They were really looking for him in the paint. And then they started to collapse the defense around him. And the amount of passes he made out of that short roll that would hit an open corner shooter every time was that's how he got some of his teammates. Max Strus went 5 of 6 from 3. That's how Dean Wade went 3 of 4 from 3. A lot of these guys just got open looks off Mobley, drawing so much attention.
Yes. And then the glaring thing for the OKC Thunder, which, as well as of a game, as far as the records and the way they play, okay, this is where you see they're going to miss Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Now, Chet Holmgren adds another dimension to this team. Now, this is the first time where you can see that, the absence of Chet Holmgren, if they're going to accomplish what they're setting out to accomplish this year, they're going to need Chet Holmgren. Isaiah Hartenstein, he battled last night, as he always does. Had a nice game when you
18,
look at the stats.
8 and 11.
Yes. But when you're playing against the length of athleticism that he saw last night, you think about it now. He had, those are nice numbers, okay? But look at their numbers. Jared Allen had 25, 11, and 6. Mm-hmm. Evan Mobley had 21, 10, and 7, okay?
Mm-hmm. And what I'll add to that is, the rebounding has always been an issue for OKC. Last night they finished with 38 boards. Cleveland finished with 40. It wasn't a huge disparity, but there were a couple plays down the stretch where Cleveland got a couple of offensive rebounds at a time, which really helped push Cleveland to the win in the crucial moments of the game.
Yeah, it's just size. So, very rarely do these games live up to the hype. But I thought it was a very competitive game. But to me, those were the glaring things. Chet Holmgren, okay, all right. Now you can see if you have Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein available, now you can play in a series. Okay. You can play in a series where, you can match up with the size. Now you can, Chet has length, ability to pass. Isaiah has length, he has size. But you're going to need both if you're going to, especially in the Western Conference, right, with the size out there. So, but overall, it was an enjoyable game. I thought it was played at a very high level. There's a lot of back and forth. I don't know how many lead changes. It seemed like they were just right there with each other the entire game. But I enjoyed it. And I think they play again early next week. So we'll get a chance to see on OKC's home court, what this could look like. So overall, I enjoyed the game.
And they did it without Chet and without Alex Caruso, who's going to be a big part in guarding Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. So I don't know if Alex Caruso is going to be back.
Yeah, what's the guy going? Yeah,
It said
what's
he
the guy
was out
going?
with a hip strain.
Oh, is that right?
But then on the injury report last night, it said he was out for an illness. So I'm not too
Okay.
sure when he's going to return. But fingers crossed, he's back soon. The other game that we were keeping an eye on in a big way last night was the Spurs and the Milwaukee Bucks, which wasn't quite as close as the Cavs and the Thunder.
Yeah.
Victor Wembanyama, slightly disappointing night, 4 of 10 from the field, finishing with 10 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist. Giannis, on the other hand, 25, 16, and 8. He showed who the big dog was. What do you make of that matchup in that game?
Well, that game. Well, I would. It holds a little bit to my heart. So last night, Bo, I leave after the first game, after the what is the Cleveland game, and I come back in, and my wife and I we come back in, and our younger son is watching television, and I said, "Hey, what are you watching?" He goes, "Hey, Dad, I'm watching Victor Wembanyama versus Giannis Antetokounmpo," and I thought, I didn't expect that from our 9-year-old. And we kind of looked at each other and we started laughing. We was like, that's where we're at. So we watched the game as a family last night. It was great. It was good. Giannis is clearly physically much stronger than Victor. And if Victor is going to take his game to the next level, he's got to, physically, he's got to be able to play through that level of contact. It's really hard for any big to play against two really good players, who are 7 feet. So Victor was at a disadvantage because he couldn't get an advantage on screen roll situations because the screen roll, when he would run screen roll or he would do anything, the rotation guy was another 7-footer. And those guys, I mean, when I say those guys, Antetokounmpo, Giannis, and Lopez, I mean, you could tell those guys were fired up for the game. I mean, both of those guys had over 20 points. Giannis was Giannis. And I mean, they just double teamed Victor. I mean, there was nothing he really could do. So
I think even in single coverage, Giannis did a really good job against Victor. There are a lot of times where Victor's catching the ball and Giannis is just completely locking him up.
Well, I don't know if he's locking him up. I mean, locking him up in this sense. How many bigs actually have the versatility and the size and the strength and this quickness to match Victor Wembanyama?
Just Wemby, just Giannis.
Yes. So
Just Giannis. There was
just
the one play
Giannis.
where he blocked him. Wemby was on a perimeter and Giannis blocked him as he was trying to take a pull up. You saw him in that straitjacket. But then the other way around, you saw how much Even though Giannis managed to finish with a great stat line, you saw how much Wemby was impacting him around the basket.
Yeah, as I'm saying, it's you know what did Wimby have? He had like 10 and he only had like 10 and 10 last night,
Yeah, 10
right?
and 10. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean for most that's good, but for him it's like okay, he had a slow night. But I listen. Victor, in my opinion right now, he's got to get physically stronger. That's the obvious. When I say stronger, just stronger enough to be able to play through that level of contact, okay? I can assure you that everyone saw what we saw, and now everyone's going to try to do that with him. But everyone doesn't have a Giannis, so you don't have to worry about it. Okay,
Yeah.
it's not like there are a lot of Giannises running around. But you know, he'll be fine. He'll learn from it, and he'll move on. He'll make adjustments. But Giannis clearly recognizes the talent of Wembanyama. I think there is certainly a level of respect. And Victor, once he figures this out, at his size, he will make the adjustments. I mean, he's a great, great player. He's a great talent. And so that was very entertaining to see Giannis and see Victor play against each other.
My favorite performance from last night didn't come from either of the games we talked about so far. It was Russell Westbrook with 19, 6, 8 in a win against the Clippers without Nikola Jokic. And my favorite highlight of the night was him telling Ivica Zubac, they were waiting for someone to take a free throw, I think DeAndre Jordan. He said to Ivica Zubac, "You better box out. You got to box out on this one." And he proceeds to not box him out properly. And Russ gets the offensive putback off the missed free throw. And I just thought, as that's your point guard. Talking trash to a 7-footer, telling him you better box me out, and then going and getting the offensive board and putting it back. Russ just continues to impress. He's averaging 15, 6, and 8 without Nikola Jokic in the lineup. The Nuggets, who were historically bad when Jokic doesn't play, they might have something here with Russ.
Well, yes, and you know, I kind of flipped through that game, and you know what was amazing to me is, okay, Jokic doesn't play. Okay, obviously that's a big, but then your backup gets like 12 and 9, like almost a double
Yeah,
double.
DeAndre.
Okay, that just lets you know the depth of this league and how good this league really is. You know, you have a guy that's backing up Jokic, and he just comes in casually in like 20 something minutes and gets like 12 and 9. Okay, a
And
couple blocks.
held Zubac to 10 and 8, and Zubac has had some big games this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that to me just says it all, but that just also lets you know how good Jokic really is. I mean, if you're getting 12 and 9 from the center position in 20 minutes, that's not bad, bro. That's not bad, but that just lets you know how good Jokic really is. And give those guys, that was a nice win by Denver. So Denver has figured out a few things. They're starting to get better play off the bench. I think Strother or someone had like, you know, double figures last night. Really nice win versus the Clippers.
The Pistons picked up another win as well against the Nets. Cade Cunningham, he didn't have a huge night, but there's a video of him, a compilation video of him going viral on the internet about his back to the basket scoring. And I love it. You know, a taller guard using his size advantage on the block to generate easy offense. I'm here for it all day long.
The Pistons are rolling. They're playing with confidence, and they're doing what they need to do. They're doing what they need to do. I win the games you're supposed to win. That's my whole thing. Win those games you are supposed to win. And right now, they've done that. They're doing that. They're playing defense, blocking shots. And you know, every night they get a guy or two that scores off the bench, double figures, and that to me is very, very. That's a good sign. That's a good indicator that they're sharing the ball, they're moving the ball, the guys are being aggressive. So you know, our Pistons are moving in the right direction.
The Orlando Magic managed to stay afloat through the absence of Paolo Banchero and then the absence of Franz Wagner. The Magic are still 22 and 16, fourth in the East, and they will be
Right.
getting Paolo back tonight, either tonight or tomorrow in one of these
Okay.
back-to-back home games. Paolo will be
Okay.
making his return. The Magic managed to stay afloat. Do you think that they can ascend now with Paolo's return into that top three? They're three games behind the Knicks in the Eastern Conference. Do you think they can step up a whole nother gear?
Well, I don't think that's fair to say that, as if like Paolo's just going to come back and be Paolo. So it's going to take him some time to get back in shape. It's going to take him some time to get back in rhythm. And, Mo, when you have injuries, okay, and, those are two really important players. So it's going to take some time to integrate back into the team. For the team to adjust to him, they've learned now how to play a certain way, and then they're going to have to figure it out. However, I'm really looking forward, to Paolo in particular coming back. What did he have? He had like an abdominal strain or something,
Yeah,
right? Or
an
something like
abdominal
that.
strain.
Yeah. So, well, we'll
Well,
see. So I'm looking forward to it.
one thing I forgot to say, when we were talking about DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan has had two double doubles in the last 2 years, both of them against the Clippers. So, his
Whoa.
former team where he played, he got his
Right.
reputation as DeAndre Jordan. How much extra does that give you when you're playing against one of your former teams?
I think I've only had that kind of, I don't know if it's a feeling or I've had that experience once. I think the first time you get traded, it's always kind of a jarring experience. Like you get traded, it's kind of like, oh, okay, now I'm gonna, show them. You know what I mean? At this stage, and then when it happens the next time, you just like it's just another game. I think at Jordan, DeAndre Jordan's career, this got to be what, year 17 or 18 for something from him.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2008.
Yeah, so I think he's moved on right now. I don't
So, oh, it's just
think,
a coincidence.
yeah,
Because
I
he
don't
played for the
think
Clippers,
they're
the Mavs, the Knicks, the Nets, the Lakers, the Sixers, and now the Nuggets. So.
Yeah, I think he's moved on from that. I think maybe the very first time it happens, it's always a little like, oh, what's going on? Then after that, it's like just business.
Yeah, because he spent 8 years with the Clippers and he didn't spend more than 1 year anywhere else.
Yeah, I think he's moved on now. I don't think there's any at this stage. If anything, he probably still has his home or probably has a home here in the LA area. But other than that, I think he's moved on.
Yeah. Well, hopefully his home is safe. The LA wildfires continue to look crazy.
Yes,
So,
yes, 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 yes. It's really not good, Mo. It's not good, and there are a lot of families, and so our thoughts are with everyone's safety, and but it's not good.
absolutely. Absolutely. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Which games are you keeping an eye on tonight, BJ? Do any of them catch your eye in terms of inter I know
Oh
your Pistons are
yeah.
playing the Warriors. I know you're going to be looking at
Yes,
that. If
yes,
Paolo returns, that
yes.
matchup with the Wolves is going to be fun. I'm looking at Houston and Memphis.
Yes, that was the game I was just about to mention. So the Rockets at Memphis, I believe, will be what is it? The 2-2 versus 3? What about a half a game or a game or so separates those two?
Yep, half a game.
Yeah, so I'm going to be looking at that game. One of your favorite players, Mo, is going to be out here in LA. I don't know if that game is actually going to be played today.
Oh, the
Now that I think
Hornets
of it,
and the Lakers.
the
I think
Hornets
that will
and the
be
Lakers.
rescheduled.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it should be. Because I know.
And Mo, we should start circling it around what's going on in Phoenix. I'm
I'll tell you
beginning to,
what's not going on in
yeah, I'm
Phoenix
a
is
little
that
concerned.
there's no
Hold, I'm going to say
defense.
this. Yeah, I'm beginning to get concerned now with the team.
16 and
Especially with
19,
the
2 and 8 in their last
especially
10.
yeah, I'm beginning to get concerned. So I'm going to start watching this team now. Because right now, Mo, I think we all expected them to be a little better than 16 and 19. Okay. So what do they play about 35 games now? I'm a little concerned now, Mo. So let's see. I'm gonna watch that to see what they got going and figure out, okay, what's the why? What's the why here? You know, they've had a coaching change. Now they've taken players in and out of the lineup, put some players on the bench. Okay, what's really going on here, Mo? Okay, so
They're
that's
playing the
it.
Hawks tonight.
Yes.
They're playing the Hawks tonight. We'll see how that goes for them. I can't say I'm expecting too much. They just lost to the Hornets. It's tough times for the Phoenix Suns, but I can't say that no one saw this coming because, well, we all saw this coming. But we didn't see it coming that this would be the worst defensive rating in any team in the history of the Phoenix Suns.
Hey, let me ask you something. How come Kevin Durant, is that by choice for him to play the forward position, the power forward position?
I think it's more to do with the roster because when you look at their team, who are you going to play at the four if KD's playing the three?
I'm just asking. I mean, I know he's gone to the four position, but is that by choice? I mean, he can play either one, but
I've not spoke to Kevin, but I think they want Ryan Dunn in their starting lineup. And then they want a point guard on the floor. So they've got Tyus Jones at a point, D-Book at a two, then they put Ryan Dunn at a three and KD at the four. The other way to do it would be put Royce O'Neal starting at the four, slide KD to the three, and put Ryan Dunn coming off the bench. But, I think Ryan Dunn offers a little bit more defensively. I don't know. We've been saying it for years, though, that
Yeah, I know.
if
That's
you
what
can
I'm
let
saying
KD play the
is
three,
three.
then they're nice. And I also don't know if Mason Plumlee being a starting center is a recipe for success in the NBA. Respectfully to Mason.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand that because he has such great size at the three. I mean, he has. I mean, he's 7. You know, he's a 7-footer, and. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't. But again, maybe it's something I don't. Maybe that's his request. You know, I don't know. But I was just asking.
Yeah, well, we'll watch that Hawks game tonight and find out what the Phoenix Suns can do. But until then, you guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, get buckets.